Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Everywhere you go.
Oh, Rob, I love when you
Thank
sing.
Thank you. Thank you. No, somebody has to. Hey, everybody. Happy December. Hope you're
happy
staying warm.
December. It's so cold outside.
Brr.
Across the way, I see the menorah lit. Do you see it over there? See them?
Hanukkah,
they just walk by it.
Hanukkah, light the menorah. Let's have a party. Nope. Apartment's on fire. Nope. Not a menorah.
Okay, never
We're
mind.
Call the police
Let's just
right
keep
now.
Looking at ourselves. Then.
I don't like to get involved. My therapist and I are working on this. I'm sorry, your house is going to burn
that's
down.
Good.
Oh my gosh, how have you been, Kevin?
Loverly. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be loverly? Hey, I didn't get a call to be in My Fair Lady revival directed by Bart Shear, did you?
No, I didn't even go in for it.
How did you would be, have you
no,
ever played
been,
Fair Lady?
I've not been going in. No, those days are I think past, but I would have that's one of those that would have been nice, except all you do is sit on stage at a stoop and you get up and sing one song and then you just sit right back down again. It's a great gig, I think.
That's
you know?
Literally my Saturday night in Harlem. The guy's playing dominoes.
Well done.
Like, please, no more.
No.
No mas.
No mas. No mas.
No mas canto. Ay. Ay. ¿Cómo estás, Green Willow? I only sing Green Willow for them.
¿A quién Robert Goulet? No sé.
No sé. Oh, I love my neighbors.
How are you? Oh, as you take a swig of your vitamin
water. I'm doing good. Oh, my God. Hey, did I tell you I'm doing curtains at 54 Below?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that.
I'm very excited.
I loved the curtains on the Broadway.
Me
I went
too.
To the Gypsy Run, and back when there were Gypsy Runs on Broadway, I feel like they don't do them much anymore.
I don't think we can
Gypsy Run
to.
Is, friends, is you know, as you know, is when, you know, right before the first preview, traditionally, there was a run on Broadway of the show, The Final Dress, for, you know, the Gypsies of Broadway. It was usually on a Monday night, and you were dark, and you would go to the theater, and you would get to, you know, see a show for free. And it doesn't happen as much anymore, I think. Maybe it does, friends. Have you been to Gypsy Run lately? The last one I went to was Young Frankenstein. Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, Young
Frankenstein. Yeah, but I haven't. No, I didn't. I haven't known about any since then. But yeah, I love curtains.
Please don't touch me. That's from.
I know. I thought you were just
singing. No. So curtains. This is very exciting. So Rupert Holmes, who wrote it, is going to be their host.
If you like piña colada, thank you.
When you're caught in the rain.
You know, and he sang that song in the video. I mean, he wrote it, and it's him performing it,
and
which I find fascinating because he was writing Edwin Drood like at the same time.
And Edwin Drood, one of our favorites.
Amazing. So he wrote the book to Curtains.
Okay, so here's the thing. I find this so fascinating. I'm going to go off topic, but I'll get back on. Curtains has been.
We never do that.
I'm trying to get better.
Sorry,
at
Mom.
It. I'm trying to get better at it. Kander and Ebb started writing Curtains in 1985.
What?
The first time there's any mention of anything like Curtains was in 1985 in a New York Times. I was doing research for another show, and they were like, and Kander and Ebb are working on this whodunit mystery.
Oh, my goodness.
Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is 1985.
Wow, that's
and
a gestation period.
It was Kander and Ebb and Peter Stone were writing it. And then Ebb died and Peter Stone died. And so John Kander brought on Rupert Holmes. So it's Kander and Ebb's and Stone. And then... Rupert Holmes comes in
exactly.
and sort of fleshed it all out. So anyway, we're doing it in concert. Rupert Holmes is going to host it. The cast I'm kind of excited about. We're going to do, it's like half new people, half reunion. So reunion side, it's Karen Ziemba.
Mm.
It's Nora Racey, Megan Sikora, Edward Hibbert.
Original cast members.
Aaron Davey, who took over for Jill Pace.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people from the ensemble. And then our new folks are going to be Richard Kind.
Oh, I love Richard Kind.
Who I love.
Perfect. In the David Hyde Pierce part. Great casting.
Oh, thank you. Mary Callanan from Bandstand is going to do the Deb Monk role. And then I'm really excited by this. If you remember Curtains, there was a critic who doesn't sing, who just comes in and is kind of
a
snarky critic.
Oh,
so at the 7 o'clock, it's going to be Michael Riedel.
I cannot even believe that.
And at 9:30, it's Charles Isherwood.
How the F did you... I cannot even...
I asked.
I am so impressed.
I was like, what's... I have a philosophy. What's the worst that can happen? They say no?
It's brilliant.
So then they say no.
And I like that they're in on the joke, that they don't mind being like... I think that's such...
No,
that's
they
so
were
smart.
Both. They were both really excited by it. So I'm hoping this is all going to be great. So anyway, January 24th... January 25th at Feinstein's 54 Below, Curtains in Concert. And then if you've got some time, January 29th, I'm doing Calamity Jane in concert.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Sarah Jean Ford.
I love Sarah Jean Ford.
Michael Park.
I like Michael Park.
Tally Sessions, Kara Lindsay.
Oh, my gosh.
Jen Gambetese, Tyler Haynes. I know I'm forgetting people. It's going to be fun.
That's great. That's
Rip Roaring Tannen.
Has that ever been done on as a stage production?
What a great question,
Kevin. Because it's a movie, correct?
Calamity Jane was in the West End and made a lot of the music circus tours in New York. In America. But Calamity Jane has never been done on Broadway. It has never been done in New York. We are doing it in concert in January, and then in March, Mel Miller, one of our former guests, is doing it at Musicals Tonight.
I saw the breakdown recently, and I just realized, I did see that somewhere, and that's why I was thinking
never
that.
Been done.
Oh, my gosh.
Carol Burnett did a TV movie of it in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's it.
That's maybe for another chat another day, but I wish that there's an archive of all of those. I mean, yes, you can go to the Museum of Television and Radio.
But you mean like on DVD or
somewhere,
online?
Yeah, because all of those, every Broadway musical in the 60s and even early 70s was done on television.
A lot of them
were, like Robert Goulet and Camelot, Robert Goulet and Kiss Me Kate with Carol Lawrence, Robert Goulet and, you know, whatever. They were so, and they were shortened too. They were like little hour and 20 minutes. So.
Yeah, and there were also a lot of musicals that were written specifically for television that were never done on stage.
Right.
Primrose, Love and Marriage. Oh, shit, was it called Love and Marriage? There was an Our Town musical. You guys are screaming the name at me right now. There's an Our Town musical. You know that Frank Sinatra song, Love and Marriage?
Yeah.
Love. It comes from that. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. So anyway. But yeah, I agree with you. I wish there was a whole bunch.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
There's that Little Red Riding Hood that Liza Minnelli did got the music by Julie Stein. That was only TV.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, favorite things today, Rob. What do you got for me?
Oh, my God. Okay. This favorite thing was actually inspired by you.
Aw.
It was indeed. And with the help of one of our fantastic listeners, Mass. Do you know what it is?
Clown Around.
It's Clown Around.
I cannot even believe that this is already a favorite thing of yours.
Clown Around.
I cannot even believe it.
Okay, you ready for some Clown Around history?
Yes, please. I hope you're going to talk about the cult, how this is like the holy grail of cast albums.
Do you want to mention that first, and then I'll jump in?
Well, because I was telling you that I did some research for something else. You know, we're constantly doing research, which is what we love to do. But it's on a website somewhere, and it was like, this is the holy grail of cast albums. And you can imagine, as a cast album collector, I was like, how have I never heard of this before? I was completely rocked by that. And then sure enough, I went on eBay and I tried to find it. And it literally is like over $100. Like I found like one, maybe two. One on Amazon is like $300. And it was like, there, you can't find it. Are you going to tell me the history of this?
I have good news for folks.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You can find it because it's now easily accessible. And it wasn't before.
Wait, right? So all those people that like bought it for like $300.
You can buy it for $11.99 now.
Shut up.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So Clown Around was this musical from 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bound for Broadway. Okay? It was bound for Broadway with Gene Kelly directing, not choreographing, Gene Kelly directing. And it was going to star the great Ruth Buzzy from Laugh-In'. So it was a big TV star that was going to star in it. The music was by Moose Charlap. We know from Peter Pan.
Yes.
And a guy named Alvin Cooperman, who never did any other lyrics after this, really, was our lyricist on it, okay? The show was really Cirque du Soleil before Cirque du Soleil. There is a script for Clown Around. It is literally stage directions.
How in the world did you find it?
Don't ask.
Okay.
Friends in high places.
Uh-huh.
Low places. It's literally stage directions.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just stage directions. There's really no dialogue outlining what the clowns were going to be doing in their skits.
Oh, wow. So it really was a bunch of
and
clowns.
And it was very, very interactive. And the thing that was really prominent about it was there was this really huge set piece called the Clown Machine. All right? The Clown Machine was 54 feet high. 134 feet long.
Oh, my goodness.
And weigh 22 tons.
No.
And you know how a clown has
in
a three...
In the 70s.
You know how a clown has a three-ring circus, or a circus has a... Sorry. A circus has a, the idea
I
of
saw
a
the Shriner circus a decade ago, and there were definitely three rings, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Imagine them suspended in the air.
No.
So it was going to be all of these acrobatics. So apparently one of the things that was really tough was transporting it from town to town.
You think?
The idea was going to be that it was going to do an a cross-country tour and then make its way to New York City. Except they realized it's kind of hard to transport 54 feet high, 130 feet long, 22 tons of a three-ring circus from place to place. So it only played two places. In April 1972, it went to the Oakland Coliseum, and then it was going
Coliseum.
Oh, yes. And then it went to the Cow Palace in San Francisco.
Shut up.
I'm not
There's
joking.
A place called the Cow Palace?
The Cow Palace. In San Francisco.
Wow. They just didn't call it the palace. They
it was
it the Cow
the
Palace.
Cow Palace. So there is a score, but there's really no script. Now, this is where it gets interesting, and this is why it's the holy grail for collectors.
I'm literally on the edge of my seat.
So in 1972, RCA Victor said that it's around, and it was, because you remember how records had codes and you would have to look up the code?
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Like DL57212.
Yes, and then
yes.
you could order it.
Exactly.
Okay, so ready for this.
Uh-huh.
Its code was LSP4741. So when you went to the catalog, LSP4740 was listed.
Uh-huh.
And LSP4742 was listed.
No way.
But just this LSP4741 just wasn't there. So you
It was erased from history.
So you contacted RCA, and RCA said, we have no idea what this is. We know that it's ascribed to something called Clown Around. We don't know. So they did some research. Are you ready for this? RCA Victor had pressed 4,000 copies of the show album, but were so pissed they spent so much money on it and the show never went anywhere, they melted them out of disgust.
I am about to drop my mic right now. This is like the E.T. Nintendo game that was supposedly buried because it was so bad. I cannot believe this.
So the only there was a couple floating around that you could purchase, but anything that RCA had, they were so pissed they got screwed over, they just melted them all.
I am completely rocked by this.
So this is why it was so hard. Except people started to realize that there were a couple around, and you can now buy it on iTunes.
Yeah, no, but it's not the same. I want the original. This is my new angel. This is my, I want.
You want the album.
Oh, I'm a collector. Of course I do.
So if you've got the Clown Around, which is rare, the Clown Around album is rare.
Oh my gosh.
But if you want to listen to it, you can get it for $11.99 now on iTunes. But if you're like Kevin, you're going to go look around a little bit. So why did the show not succeed? It wasn't just the fact that this big piece of set was not able to be transported. Gene Kelly's wife was sick.
Wait, so Gene Kelly was
the director.
Director, gotcha.
And so because
choreographer, I would
No,
think.
He wasn't the choreographer.
Oh.
He only directed it.
Oh.
His wife was sick, so he sort of just put more attention on her, which makes total sense.
Of course.
The show kind of floundered. But when you listen to it, it's got a very funky 1970s score. Everything sounds real clean and square. What's that song? Up and away in our beautiful balloon. It's a 60s pop song.
Yeah.
Every song pretty much sounds like this in Clown
right,
Around.
A little toe-tapper.
But it's actually, I think it's really fun. It's very brassy. It has a promises-like sound. Jack Elliott and Alan Ferguson did the orchestrations. You might know them because they also did the theme song to Charlie's Angels.
Oh, okay.
So that shows you how 70s
it is. Very West Coast, too, isn't this?
Very
this
is, West Coast.
You know what I mean? Like LA, like studio it. Musicians, all of that
very
kind of
great
world.
Way of putting
yeah.
it.
Yeah, okay.
So Clown Around really was the Holy Grail. But once again, like I said, it's released on iTunes. Take a listen to it, because I think there's some really good songs in it. There's a really sweet one. and I think if I ever do my Robert Goulet act, I'm going to sing. There's a the last song is called Clowns Say Goodnight. And you can literally see Goulet. No, it's not even Goulet. It's like a Don Rickles, like sitting on a stool, like unbuttoning his bow tie with a martini, singing Clowns Say Goodnight
oh,
to show you
brilliant.
That after all the humor, there's a heart underneath
oh
all of
it. Oh, my gosh.
So once again, if you're like Kevin, you need to look really hard to get the album. Luckily, John Mass was kind enough to send it out to us. But you can also get it on iTunes for $11.99. So that is mine, Clown Around Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
I have to say that this is like probably one of the best favorite things you've ever done.
Why?
It just kind of like, I did not know a single thing. I'm completely rocked by it. The fact that like the whole number thing and the how they completely, RCA just completely erased it.
But I found, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I just can't get over it. And then they melted the copies.
Just to be like, fuck you.
Yeah, I just can't get over this. It's a cast album. What was it doing wrong to you? I mean, come on.
It never hurt anybody.
I know. I just am. Did any listeners see it by any chance?
Who saw it?
Like, did anyone know? You know, oh, and I can't wait for you to do a thing on The Body and the Sane, the other holy grail of cast albums.
Which we also have.
I know.
Thanks
John. Oh, my gosh.
So mine is Clown Around.
Well,
you can
done.
Listen to it for $11.99. Oh, I think it's worth the investment.
Gosh, I'm amazed.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I have a book. you're going to probably get it right away because we've talked about it. The problem, guys, is that Rob and I are friends and we talk about stuff and I have to like not talk about what I'm reading or doing because then he knows. And I want to, but who's the one person in this world right now that I can talk to him about this stuff is Rob. So I'm pretty sure that I've like outed myself with this stuff. So I got this idea during the Broadway Bound concert with Jennifer.
Tepper.
And she just offhandedly mentioned this book.
I know what you're talking about because my jaw was on the floor too. Go ahead.
What is the book?
It was The Burning of Atlantis.
Scarlet Letters.
That's it.
By Florence Rome.
That's it.
Who is the wife of Harold Rome.
When Jen mentioned this, by the way, I didn't know she was going to mention it until we were on stage.
Oh my gosh.
And my jaw like was on the floor being like, what is this?
Oh yeah. And I literally, I made a note. In the concert, I was at the bar and I was like, Kevin, I sent an email to myself and was like, go check this out. Went online, went to Amazon, bought it that night.
Very quickly. I'm just going to tell our listeners. So I do this concert series of 54 Below with the amazing Jennifer Ashler Tepper. It's called Broadway Bound. We do songs for musicals that were bound for Broadway and we give a little narration.
I sang a couple songs in the, over
what
the years.
What did you sing? It was so good.
You
sang Arthur for us
that
once.
That was the first one. And then
the second
most
one you did, Smile.
Was,
the Carolyn Lee,
you.
Marvin Hamler Smile.
Right, those before Howard Ashman took
but
over.
But we were doing a song from Gone with the Wind, sung by the brilliant Michael Hajar, who's this really young up-and-coming performer. Mm-hmm. So Jen was giving research, and she mentioned this book. And I was like, what is this book? How have I never heard of it? What is this book?
Oh, my gosh. It's fantastic. It's a very interesting book. It is not like a gossip book, because let me give you context before we go anywhere. It's called The Scarlet Letters because it is about Harold Rome and she going to Japan for the making of the musical Scarlet, or of Gone with the Wind, the musical.
Do you know the history of this show? Are you going to tell us about it or no?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yes. I mean, well, I can tell you this. So Japan, this big company, this entertainment company in Japan called, where are my notes? Toho Company. Who is known for basically for doing Godzilla and those kinds of movies, but they have tons of money in the late 60s, and they did a 14-hour play of Gone with the Wind.
Yep.
Okay. So and it was a huge hit in Japan, major hit, made them tons of money. This company. So then they thought, well, what better? What else could we do? Oh, I know. Let's make an American musical of this play in Japan, but let's hire American Broadway composer and writers to do it. So they Googled who can we hire. No, they didn't do that at all. But they found a composer and writer. They found Harold Rome, who I think is one of the more underrated.
You love Harold Rome.
I do love Harold Rome. He did like Call Me Mister and Pins and Needles, but then he wrote book musicals like Fanny and I Can Get It For You Wholesale and Zula and Zenda. But really, that's a big old hit. But he also wrote this Scarlet. So they also hired Joe Layton to be the director. Lehman Engel came over as the music director. And guess who did the dance arrangements and the music arrangements?
Trudy Rittman.
Trudy Rittman, my favorite.
Jeez.
Every time I can bring Trudy Rittman's name up and can bring her recognition, I will always do it. So basically, the book chronicles the writing and making of this musical through the eyes of Harold Rome's wife. Mm. So you really get to see it from like a fly on the wall. You get to see her like sort of, and what I like about it is you get to see the way musicals were made back then, how communication happened back then. This wasn't the easiest process of bringing this musical to fruition. For one, the actors were sang all of the dialogue and songs in Japanese, and the Americans were used to a Broadway schedule, and there was just different work ethics.
Yes.
And different ways of communicating. So the gestation period took a while. I think it took like a year for them to make it, which is actually not that long for a musical, but they insisted on their writer in Japan doing the book writing. So this guy that, so they insisted on, that was part of the deal, even though Joe Layton tried to fix things, but they insisted, Horton Foote, who later took over when they did it in London, and then there was some productions in the United States eventually, he took over, but it was really this Japanese guy who was the director and the head of the Toho company. And so it was very much like, no, we're going to do it our way. Meanwhile, these Broadway people were like, we know how to do a Broadway show. Like, we know exactly how it's supposed to be done. And yet they were like very much in their way of doing art. So it was like a kind of lost in translation effect. Now, is there more information that you know that you can fill in other than, because I have a feeling you know.
No, nothing about this book, because I didn't even know the book existed until Jen mentioned it.
Oh, it starts with the idea, getting the phone call of this company inquiring if Harold Rome would be interested in this. It then goes with she and Harold go to Japan for the initial meeting with Joe Layton, and they meet them, and it must have been a sweet deal, you know, financially, and they were like, all right, let's do it, you know. So they go to work, they write the whole thing, and then they go back to London for the rehearsals. And what you get is her sitting in, talking. She loved the lead actor who was like, and in Japan, a lot of the actors were not musical theater actors; they were movie stars. They literally movie stars.
Oh, wow.
Of the Japanese film, because Toho, the company, had a movie division, all that, so they could just use their
wow.
their. So, and then you get her correspondence letters too, because you know everyone communicated in letters back then. And so you get, you know, her writing to the Rogers and her writing to Kitty Carlisle, and you know, and it's a really personal account of this adventure that they had. The Hirschfelds, she writes to the Hirschfelds, and you get her sort of trying to communicate with the troubles, the tribulations, and the ultimate semi-success that it had in Japan, where they narrowed it down to, I think, 9 hours when it first started.
Yeah.
Two parts that were 4.5 hours each. And the Japanese, you get to hear how the Japanese audiences are, which are not like American audiences. They were they clapped when they were supposed to. They didn't laugh a lot, but by the end, they loved it because they thought that they were seeing this sort of like, not a museum piece, but something special that was made specifically for them, but in the American style. Mm. But it was like half and half.
Interesting.
They eventually thought that they would take it to Broadway. They thought they would retool it. They did it in, so this all happened. They wrote it in 1969, performed in Japan in 1970. It went to London in 1972 with a book retooled by Horton Foote. It did okay. There was a cast album of that. There's also, I have the Japanese cast album as well of Scarlet. And then it came to the United States It played, it toured around, but it did not make it to Broadway. It was thought that, like you've always said, I always think of you talking about a very famous entity and how, like, Gone with the Wind is so known that how can you improve upon that which is already so kind of perfect, you know? And I don't think that, and audiences had a hard time seeing these characters singing. But the score is actually really lovely. There are some beautiful tunes in it. I love Harold Rome's work. And incidentally, there was a production in 1976 at Dallas with one of our guests, Lawrence Guittard.
Yes, indeed.
Isn't that special?
Yes, indeed. Leslie Ann Warren from Clue and all of our favorite movies played Miss Scarlet.
Indeed, indeed.
I mean, she was Miss Scarlet in Clue, but she played Scarlet O'Hara.
Yes, indeed. So the book is fantastic also because you get this insider's account. You get to understand, you get to see how a musical was made in the late 60s in that tradition. And then you also, it's got all these really fun letters and these great photographs in there of rehearsals and all of that.
And the name of the book again is called?
It's called The Scarlet Letters by Florence Rome. You can get, it's like $4 on Amazon. It's out of print.
And you finished with it, right?
Oh, definitely. It's a very easy read. It's a quick read.
Okay.
I think I read it like in a day. Amazing. Mean, it's a very fun read. But it's just like a fun little, for a theater fan, it's a fun little glimpse into a show that maybe you don't know a lot about and might find a little interesting.
Love it.
Yeah.
So once again, take a listen to Clown Around and then read
The Scarlet Letters.
Till next time.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.